written in sort of in synopsis form. If you actually want to learn the full Torah, it's in Likutei Sichos Chelek Chaf Hei. There's always plenty to learn from Lubavitcher Rebbe, but again, they take the piece here and they make it very accessible to us. Okay, so again, the Sefer is called Ma'at Min Ha'or, and the piece is called Ma Sod HaTzlacha. What is the secret? What is the secret to success? It's a good shayla. What is the secret to success? We all want to be successful. What is the secret to success? Okay, we're going to learn a little bit about Koach HaDibor as well, which I think is a topic that the world needs a lot of chizuk in. Learning how to communicate, learning how to convey ideas, what to say, what not to say, how to say. It all comes down in this piece. Okay, so let's take a look. B'parshas Chayei Sarah mesuper ba'arichus al masa'o shel Eliezer Eved Avram l'Charan. Obviously, our parsha tells the story, the centerpiece of the parsha is the story of Eliezer trying to find a wife at the behest of his Rebbe, of Avram, to find a wife for Yitzchak. B'matara lahavi misham isha liYitzchak avinu. HaTorah misaperes b'pirut rav. The Torah, in unbelievable detail, it's really remarkable if you think about it. If you think about, you know, how much ink does the Torah allocate to talking about Shabbos? Versus how much ink, so to speak, does the Torah, how much space, prime real estate does the Torah give to Eliezer Eved Avram and his conversation with Avraham and the repetition of that conversation? It's quite remarkable. The Torah explains with all details, bepirut rav, with unbelievable detail, Mahora Avram Avinu Eliezer, exactly what Avram told Eliezer, Elu brachos hu kibel, right, the brachos that he received, Keitzad v'imahu holech, how to go and with what to go, what was he going to bring and how is he going to bring it, Umahaya b'igiu l'charan, right, what's going to be when he arrives there, what he can do, what he can't do, Milvado uvda shesipur ze mefurat b'Torah, and in addition to the story as outlined in great detail in the Torah, the original conversation of Avram and Eliezer, HaTorah gam kofeles as a sipur pam nosefes. The Torah tells the story, the whole thing over again. Kasher Eliezer mesaper lo Lavan ubisuo, when Eliezer comes to Rivka's house and he's talking to Lavan, to Besuel, he's talking to her father and he's talking to her brother, right? Avia v'achia shalakala hamyu edes Rivka, talking to the father and the brother of the designated kala, namely Rivka. Eskola korosito, everything that happened, how I got here, and what happened. And again, the Torah with great detail. HaTorah mefaretes b'shenis eskol ma sheliezer mesaper lem. The Torah tells the whole thing over again. And it's here that Chazal have their famous comment. Chazal comment, why do we need all the details? And why do we need the details twice? The Medrash says in the next paragraph, Yafa sichasan shel avdi avos lefnei amakum. How great, how beautiful are the conversations of the Avde Avos before Hashem? Mitorasan shel banim. Right? The conversation of Eliezer Eved Avram gets more ink in the Torah than the Torah of the children, the Torah of the descendants. Right now we're learning Torah and it's not going to make it into the Torah. But Eliezer Eved Avram, who seems to be just repeating the instructions, gets unbelievable amount of space in the Torah. L'sipur zeh shel Avde Avos yesh chavivus miuchedes. So obviously, any person who's paying attention has to ask, why does the Torah repeat the whole story? And are there any differences between the original presentation of the story and the repetition of the story? And if you read between the lines, that's where, of course, we'll come away with a deep understanding of why the Torah loves this story so much, why the Torah felt it was appropriate, necessary to repeat all the details. Who needs all these details? Chevra, tell me the 39 malachos in the Torah. I don't even know how to keep Shabbos. I read the Torah without Torah Shabbal Peh. I don't even know how to put on tefillin. And I have to spend pasuk after pasuk after pasuk recounting the story of Eliezer's conversation with Lavan and Besuel, and I said like this, and my master said like that, and then I said like this. What do you need it for? So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, obviously we need to look carefully, we need to listen carefully, and try to figure out what's going on. Kasher mizbonenim, when we contemplate, and when we try to line up the stories, the Sipur as presented at its makor, the original story, and the way that the Torah repeats the story. When Eliezer spoke over shared the story with the family of Rivka, Anu motziim kama shinuyim, we find several changes, significant changes. Shinuyim hadarshim biur, changes that require clarification and explanation. We need to understand what exactly did Eliezer change when recounting the story and why. And again, by the way, that's really without even getting into the details, that's a big part of the secret of this Maamar Chazal. Right? Meaning when Chazal say, Yafasi Chasan Shal Avdei Avos Lefnei Amakum, great are the conversations that the Avos have in the presence of Hashem. What does that mean, Lefnei Hamakom? It means that Eliezer was able to say certain things in the presence of Lavan and Besuel, that he was really talking to Hashem. It looked like he was talking to them, but he was hinting to certain things to Hashem. He was revealing certain things. He was concealing certain things. Right? What was so great about Eliezer in this moment is that he knew how to say just the right things. Okay, but we're now going to read between the lines and try to find out, well, what were those right things? What exactly did he say? Echad ha'avdelim hu, one of the big significant changes is, b'makor mofia, the original story is presented, kasher Eliezer shoal es Avraham, when Eliezer says to Avraham, chaver, if you have a chumash in front of you, you can look at the psukim inside, when Eliezer says to Avraham, this is in chavdalit pasakai, v'yomrei lav ha'eved, ulai lo soveh ha'isha lo leches acharai el ha'aretz, hazos, perhaps, ulai lo sava isha, perhaps the woman will not, what does this word mean? Sova. She won't want, she won't desire. Perhaps she won't desire to come back to this land. So, let me ask you, if I'm struggling to finalize the shidduch without Yitzchak ever meeting the woman, ha'ashev ashiv es bincha el ha'aretz asher yatzasa misham, maybe I should bring Yitzchak, again, this is the original conversation, Avram and Eliezer, maybe I should bring Yitzchak to the land, let the young couple meet each other, you know, let them get to know each other. Ona lo Avram Avinu, Avram says back to him, and this is the quote from the Pasuk, he shamer lecha pen toshiv es bini shama, be very careful, God forbid, don't bring my son there. And then he says to Eliezer, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, asher lekachani b'beis aviyum me'eretz moladeti, Hashem, the God of the heavens, who took me from my father's home, the land of my birthplace, Vasher Dibrali, Vasher Nishvali Lemor, Lezaracha Etena Saaretz Azos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised what? That he's going to give this land to my descendants. And then what does he say? Dot dot dot. Hu Yishlach Malacho Lefanecha Vilakach Teisha Livni Misham. Hashem is going to send a Malach before you, and he will make sure, with the, you know, angelic escort, you'll be able to take a wife for my son from there, with nothing to worry about. Okay, that's Avram's response. Hashem's going to send a malach to assist you. There's no reason for you to question, are you going to need to bring my son back down to the house of Rivka? No, trust me. Guaranteed success. Hashem's going to send a malach to make sure everything works out. Just promise me you'll never take my son to that place. I don't want him to go to that place. Okay, that was the original conversation between Avram and Eliezer. However, let's listen in. Very subtle changes when the conversation is taking place the second time. V'ilu ka'asher Eliezer... Sorry about that. The screen jumped a little. V'ilu ka'asher Eliezer chozer u'masapra esadvar melalavan u'besuel. When Eliezer is repeating this story, listen very carefully. It's such a yesod in life. Hu mosif milim sha'avram vinu lo amar lo. He says things that Avram never said to him in the original conversation. How does he present it? He says, "Va'omer al Adoni, I said to my master, Ulai lo sele ha'isha acharai. Maybe the woman's not going to want to come with me. Va'yomer elai, right? And my master said back to me, Hashem, asher hisalachti lefanecha, yishlach malacho itoch, v'hitzliach darkecha. Hashem will send his malach with you, yishlach malacho itoch, and you'll be successful on your mission. V'lakachta isha livni v'chulu. Dot, dot, dot. And you'll take a wife for my son. So what did Eliezer change and what did he add? Eliezer added the words, V'hitzliach darkecha. He said, Hitzliach darkecha. My master told me the mission will be successful. Avram never said that explicitly. Avram never spoke about the success that Eliezer is going to have. Hu machdis b'fi Avram es hamila v'hi successful. Davar shalom namar lo. He never said that. Avram never said that. Davar zed doresh bir. So says the Heilig Lubavitcher Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Why did he add that? Mivtiach lecha lecha. Avram never guaranteed his success. Avram just said, promise me you'll never take son down to that place. And he told him that the Malach Hashem is going to go before you. And Eliezer changed it. And he has these words. He gave me a guarantee of success. He's liach darkecha. That Hashem's going to send the Malach with me, and that's going to guarantee success. Says Lubavitcher, let's listen more carefully. Because there's another difference. In describing the Malach, there's another change that takes place. Not only did he add these words, Hitzliach Darkecha, you'll tell me when you have the number 90, what if Hitzliach, I don't know what the number is, I didn't get a chance, Hitzliach Darkecha, V'Hitzliach Darkecha, I don't know, we'll have to see if the Vav's a part of it. Yeah? But Avram made, Eliezer made another change. Avram said, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim. What did Hashem say? What did Avram say? Yishlach Malacho Lifanecha. Hashem will send the Malach in front of you. The Malach will lead you. Hamalach Yelech Lifanecha. And what does Eliezer say to them? That my master told me that Hashem is going to what? Send Yishlach Malacho Itach. Will send the Malach with me. Not in front of me. Hamalach lo yelech lefanecha el arak itoch. The Malach will go with you. So again, Lubavitcher Rebbe, as any astute scholar of Torah, is paying attention to the words. Is there a difference? Ma hevdel bein lefanecha lebein itoch. So chaver, we have two questions, okay? Everyone with me? Everyone good? Jonathan, you're good? Avi, you're good? Yaakov, you're good? Two questions we have so far. Question number one. Again, the general question of what's so great about Sichoson Shel Avdei Avos, that the Torah spends so much time recounting the story of Eliezer Eved Avram. But now we're listening into the details and we notice two significant things. Number one, Eliezer added the words Hitzliach Darkecha, that you're going to have great success, a guarantee of success. And second of all, the original presentation, Avram said that Hashem's going to send a Malach before you, and now Eliezer changes it to Yishlach Malacho Itach, that the Malach is going to go with you. So what's the difference between the two? So it says Lubavitcher Rebbe, Eliezer is teaching us such sensitivity in the way that a person speaks. Itach, what does Itach mean? With you. What does Itach mean? Peirusho? Yachar Itach. Itach means along with you. We're going to walk side by side, right? Don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Right? Side by side. The Malach and Eliezer hand in hand on their way to base Lavan Ubesua. Going together. Yachad Itach. What does Lifanecha mean? Lifanecha means the Malach leads the way. Hu yakdimoscha, hu yelech lifanecha. He's gonna go ahead. Itach. So what does that mean? What is the imagery of side by side versus the Malach paving the way? Says Lubavitcher Rebbe, Itach Peirusho. When we walk hand in hand, we're partners. Peirusho sha'ata tzarich lavod. That you need to work together. You need to do your part. Ha'avod emuteles alecha. Aval ha'malach yisaya be'yadcha. The malach will help you. The malach's by your side. But you have to do your part also. You have to work together. We're business partners. We work together. Hu yiyeh itach. He will be by your side, but you have to make the effort also. That's what itach implies. Working together. Lifanecha, what Avram originally said was that the Malach is going to what? Go before you. He's going to pave the way. Peirusho, you know what that means? She'as kol ha'avoda oisa ha'malach. The Malach's going to lead the way. Just like when the Torah describes the Malach that, you know, the Malach that led Bnei Yisrael through the Midbar, paving the way. Right, the Malach Hashem was leveling mountains as they made their way through the Midbar. The Malach that provided protection for Klal Yisrael. Right? The Malach could sometimes take care of things on our behalf. Or the Malach could be a little extra chizuk, a Malach by your side. So Itach implies working together with the Malach. Lifanecha implies that the Malach is going to do everything for you. He's going to lead the way. Humiyasher lecha sederach. He's going to pave the way. He's going to straighten the path before you. Hu doeg lehasdir es kol advarim. He's going to prepare everything. You just have to walk in his footsteps. Oscha tzarech rak kedei sheyeh adam fizi b'makom. Sheyitzag es Avram Avinu. Aval avoda kula nases al yedei hamalach hu kvar holech lefanecha. right? You just need to be there to represent Avram Avinu, right? But you don't have to do anything. You just sit in the back, and the driver takes you there. You just get there, and you know, you'll deliver the message when you arrive, but you don't need to make any great effort to make it happen. So Avram told Eliezer, Lifanecha, and Eliezer, when he retold the story, he said, Itach, together. But then he added, V'hitzliach darkecha. Avram didn't initially give that guarantee of success, and Eliezer added the sort of a guarantee of success. It's almost counterintuitive. It's almost opposites, right? He downplayed the role of the malach, making more responsibility sounds like more responsibility is placed upon Eliezer himself, but then he also spoke up more of a guarantee of being successful in the mission. So what's the pshat? B'shlicha zu shel Eliezer, hamalach achein halach lefanav, ha'avoda kula nasa al yado. The truth of the matter is, chevra, that we know that Eliezer had remarkable success and unbelievable siyata d'shmaya. The malach was working the magic for him. The malach was making it happen. Hu erganas kvitzas haderech shel Eliezer. The malach paved the way that Eliezer was able to arrive in a miraculous way. The Gemara says only three people in history had kvitzas haderech. I guess before the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. In Talmudic, in ancient days, you know. The Gemara says, in the Gemara's perspective, there were only three people at Kvitas Haderach. It says Eliezer, Yaakov, and Avishai. I think were the three who had Kvitas Haderach. Gemara in Sanhedrin. Yeah, so Eliezer had awesome miracles happen. The Malach was doing unbelievable things. Who zeshagarim l'rifka letzeis miyabayis od lifnei igato shal Eliezer l'makom? The Malach was the one who somehow got Rifka to leave her home to be at the well just at the right time. The second Eliezer asked for a sign, all of a sudden Rivka appears. The Malach was making things very, very smooth. She showed up right on time. Right? And Rivka goes out and she's got her jug of water on her shoulder.
When Besuah was trying to get in the way and to ruin the whole shidduch, the Malach came according to Chazal and poisoned Besuah, got him out of the way.
So the Malach was doing plenty. The entire journey, the Malach was paving the way. The Malach was always lefanav. The Malach was always a step ahead of Eliezer, making things happen. So why did Eliezer change it to Itach? Why did Eliezer change the language? So explains Lubavitcher Rebbe. Eliezer was very clever, was very wise. Hasiba l'shinoi zeh bidvarv shel Eliezer na'utz bekach. The necessity for Eliezer to change his words ever so slightly was for the following reason. Shakasher Eliezer Misochachim Lavan Ubisuel. Eliezer is the Talmud Mufak of Avram Avinu. Eliezer is a big Talmud Chacham. Eliezer is a big Tzaddik. Eliezer is able to believe in what the Malach did for him. But now he's talking to Lavan and Besuel. And now he needs to convince them of a Shidduch. And now he has to speak a language that's maybe more Matim for the person on the other side of the negotiating table. Hulo yachol lesaper lahem es ha'emes kula. Eliezer is not able to say everything that happened. He doesn't speak about the kvitas haderech. He hints to it. He doesn't speak about the malach's precision in providing for him. Lesaper shakol be'etzem menual aride malach. They're not used to this type of thing. He can't speak to Besuel and Lavan this language. Hulo yachol lomer lahem shamalach holech lefanecha. He's not able to convey to them the hashkacha pratis that he saw every step of the way. Ki be'im heim yishma'u zos, heim yomer lo, if he were to say it to them straight, be'emes, what he believed happened, they would say to him, ma ta rotza meitan, what do you want from us? Anachnu b'chlal lo tzad kan, hakol menu'al al yidei ha'malach. So they would say, well, we're not, you're like, what are you, so you're telling us we don't have a say here? You're telling me what, that everything is kind of being forced into place by a malach? He wants them to feel that what? That they're part of the negotiations. That they're going to, you know, consider whether the shidduch should happen or not happen. L'chein haya alav lomer lahem. So therefore, what was he able to say to them?
He was only able to say, Yishlach malacho itach. He's only able to say that Hashem, right, my master told me that Hashem is going to send the malach with me. In other words, I have some angelic support. Yish malach shemesayeya, there's a malach who's helping me. Aval hu rak itach, hu rak letzidi. The malach is by my side. Ani menahal es hakol, I'm here to work things out. Hashidduch misnahal ba'ofen TV. We're here to discuss a shidduch. Obviously, we need your consent. We need your hand in marriage. U'l'shem kach ani zokuch la'askamaschem. And therefore, I need your haskama. I need, right? He's sitting down with Eliezer, sitting down with Lavan and Besuel, and he's making it sound like there's a real conversation that has to happen here. He's speaking to them. In other words, he's speaking to them on their level. He's speaking to them in a way that they can understand. However, according to some, let's just pause for a second. According to some today, it's a little machlokas. I didn't have a chance to look into it more. Apparently, it's a little bit of machlokas. What is the yard site of Rabbeinu Yonah? Some say it's Ches Mar Cheshvan, which was 20 days ago. Some say it's Chof Ches Mar Cheshvan, which is today. So I was thinking about maybe learning some of the writings of Rabbeinu Yonah today, but then I saw there's this whole like discussion about what his actual yard site is, so I chickened out and decided to learn this piece instead. But there's a beautiful piece from Rav Pam Zatzal, from Torah Vadas, Rav Avram Yaakov HaKohen Pam, in his Sefer Atara LaMelech. In the back of the Sefer, he has this piece where he talks about Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says, you know, Rabbeinu Yonah very famously wrote what Sefer? What's the famous Sefer of Rabbeinu Yonah? The 1200s, Rabbeinu Yonah, a classic work of Jewish philosophy. The Shaarei Tshuva, right? The Shaarei Tshuva. Shaarei Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the Shaarei Tshuva, partially in response to his own feeling of a need for tshuva based on something that happened in his life. Rabbeinu Yonah lived in the 13th century. So Rabbeinu Yonah wrote the Shaarei Tshuva. The Shaarei Tshuva is a very heavy sefer. You know, when people ask, you know, for recommendation, Elul time, what's a good sefer to learn? So Shaarei, how can you not recommend Shaarei Tshuva? At the same time, Shaarei Tshuva speaks in a way of, to quote Rav Pam, it's listor amenas livnos. It breaks you down in order to build you up. You have to really confront your averas in a heavy way if you want to grow from within a work like a Shaarei Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote other svarim. Rabbeinu Yonah, we have Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah in the back of the Gemara in Brachos, right? The teachings of Rabbeinu Yonah on Shas in several places. We have Rabbeinu Yonah on Pirkei Avos, which was published based on a Ksaviad. We have Rabbeinu Yonah has a section of writing called Shaarei Avoda. And Rav Pam says, if you look at the very beginning of the Shaarei Avoda, Rabbeinu Yonah writes in a very different style. He starts off by saying the first step to being a great person is to recognize who you are, is to know where you come from. It sounds very Hasidish the way he writes. To understand that you're a child of Hashem and that your neshama is so pure and so holy. It's like very different, Rav Pam said, than the style, than the tone of the Shaarei Tshuva. And Rav Pam writes there, he says, you know, different tzaddikim understand that there's different voices that have to be used in different generations. Maybe there was a time when Shaarei Tshuva, you know, Rav Pam says, was like, would help people to grow. But for many people, it's too heavy today. It's too intense. The language that forces a person to have a breakdown, to crumble oneself, you know, into little pieces before you can then rebuild yourself is very hard for some people to be sovel. We can't handle it. We're not strong enough to be makabel that rebuke. So Rav Pam says the Shaarei Avoda, that introduction to the Shaarei Avoda, that description of how great we are and how lofty we are, right? And talking about, you know, the potential that you have and recognizing that as the first step to real success in Avodas Hashem is that a person should be Yodeas Erech Atzmo. A person should know their own worth, their own value. Rav Pam said that's the language that's more appropriate for our generation. So why am I telling you this? Because maybe it's Rabbeinu Yonah's yard site today, maybe. But I'm telling you this because Eliezer understood this. Eliezer understood that the way that I talk when I'm talking with my Rebbe, Avram Avinu, is different than the way I talk when I'm talking to Lavan and Besuel. The way that I talk to my friends, who have the same religious values as me, might be different than the way I speak to someone who I need to make it more accessible to them. However, this is also very timely in the sense that, You know, we just lost two great tzaddikim, Rav David Feinstein and Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and they were both masters at sort of striking this balance of knowing how to converse with different people in different ways. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was, you know, so many people have described him so appropriately as just being this awesome voice in the world, a person who knew how to talk to religious Jews and also knew how to speak in a way that was inviting to Jews who were just beginning their journey towards, you know, a religious lifestyle, who knew how to present Torah in the eyes of the world, not only Jews, but non-Jews alike. You have someone like Rav David Feinstein, who on the one hand was able to converse in the highest levels of Torah, and yet was able to make himself so accessible that you weren't intimidated by him, that you could go over and you could speak to him, a feeling that he was like a grandfatherly figure to everyone who met him. To be able to speak in different ways is a very, very important skill. Skill maybe not the right word, but it's a very important character trait to develop over the course of a lifetime. So Eliezer was so sensitive in his speech. When he's talking to Avram Avinu, the conversation goes a certain way. When he's sitting at the negotiating table, trying to create the first shidduch in history of Yitzchak and Rivka, he needs to talk to Lavan and Bisul in a different way. He needs to invite them into the conversation. So he doesn't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is plowing through with his malach. He doesn't say the malach is what? Is going lifanecha. That the malach is going to force the result. He lets them feel like they're a part of it. He lets them feel like they have a hand in the discussion. And yet, at the same time, with that sensitivity, what does Eliezer do? Chaver, let's finish up the piece. Lemaros, shu'a omer lehem sha'malach megia rak itach. While on the one hand, he's saying that the malach is by my side. It's a partnership. We're working together here. But he also hints to them. He also reminds them with a certain confidence. And I think it's very appropriate confidence. Lubavitch Rebbe is saying here. You have to be able to invite someone into the conversation. But you also have to remind the person on the other end in a subtle way that Hashem's team, that Hashem's side, and I'm representing Hashem's side, is guaranteed to win. B'chol zos hu ramaz lahem. While at the same time he's saying, listen, we're working together, the malach is on my side, malach is not forcing anything, he's not plowing ahead, right? We're side by side, Eliezer, Lavan, Besuel, the malach, we're all sitting at the negotiating table together. At the same time he says, he hints to them, that there's a koach elyon, but there is something special that's escorting me. Maybe not in a way of lefanecha, I say that outright, but you know what Eliezer adds? What are the other words he added? Eliezer says, Hitzliach darkecha. Eliezer hints to Lavan and Besuel, much as he's inviting them into the conversation, he says, I have a guarantee that I'm going to be successful in this mission. Nachon, it's true. Hamalach sholech kan hu rak itach. The malach is only by my side. I can't say lefanecha to them. Aval miyad achereza. He adds the words, Hitzliach darkecha. Muvteches liatzlacha. But because I'm here as a shliach of Avraham, and because I'm here as a shliach of the creator of the world, there's a certain hatzlacha that I'm guaranteed to have. Chava, try to think now in the eyes of the Lubavitch Rebbe what the Rebbe is trying to say to us. It's very clear to us. Hatzlacha. What is hatzlacha? Stop a person on the street. What is success? What does it mean to be successful? What is hatzlacha? Hatzlacha mashmu'usa matanas shamayim. It's a gift. It's a matana from Hashem. She'ena mutnis ve'ena tluya ba'avodas ha'adam. Right? It's not dependent upon. It's not hanging. It's not dependent upon a person's efforts. Hatzlacha is a matana me'akadosh baruch hu. It's a gift from Hashem. K'mo she'nemar l'gaba Yosef atzadik. Asher hu oseh. Yosef saw, he had a hot hand, everything that he touched, everything he was involved in. Hashem atzliach. Hashem gave him success. Hatzlacha is not something that we can demand, we can create. Hatzlacha is something that Hashem gives you. Yosef, because he lived with Hashem, Yosef, like Rashi says, in Parshas Vayeshev, always was talking, Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem, right? Be'ezras Hashem. Yosef developed a language of talking about God, and when you have Hashem in your life, you have Hatzlacha. Hashem gives you a gift of Hatzlacha. Eliezer Omer Lehem. On the one hand, Eliezer said, Ani holich b'shlichus shal Avraham, va'alai mutelas avoda. Eliezer didn't want to speak too mystically. He didn't want to say, oh, look at this amazing Hashgacha Pratos, how the Malach made everything happen every step of the way. They couldn't handle that. And he couldn't say that the Malach was forcing their hand. They would be put off by that. He said, the Malach is by my side. And I'm doing the avod. I have to do my part. In truth, he said, Avram said lefanecha. I can't say that to you, but you know what I could say instead? Muvteches li atzlacha. By saying the Malach is going to go in front of you is another way of saying that my mission is guaranteed. Matana mi lemala la'atzlachas ha'shlichas. A gift from on high that my mission is going to be successful. And therefore, you know what the response was? It's so beautiful. You know what they say back to him? What do they say back to Eliezer Eved Avram? You know what they say? It's something that catches you off guard. Every time I hear this parsha, every time we read Chayei Sarah, I'm always caught off guard a little bit by the response. That Lavan and Bisuel, who we know are not such great tzaddikim, how do they respond in Pasuk Nun? Vayaan Lavan and Bisuel vayomru mehashem yatzah hadavar. Ah, it's all from God. Lo nuchal daber elecha ra'otov. Who are we to say good or bad? Right? He set them up to have success in the conversation by not being too forceful, but in a subtle way, by saying, listen, I'm representing Hashem's team. He was able to make it approachable. And they got it. Again, whatever they thought they were saying, and again, Chazal sometimes read into their words, right? Chazal see, Vaya'an Lavan u'Besuel, Rashi says, Lavan spoke before Besuel, right? Whatever it is, it wasn't perfect, but on a pshat level, Hashem yatzah davar, wow, it's all from God. Right, lo nuchal ledaber elecha ra'otov. Who are we to challenge this shidduch? He set them up for the same hatzlacha that he had by being sensitive with his words. Yaakov, you wanted to say something? Your hand was up.
Yeah, I mean, I thought from Parsha Vayetze when Lavan says a very similar line when Yaakov's running back to Eretz Yisrael and he says, like, Hashem came to me in a dream and I can't really say anything. I know that Hashem came to him in a dream there, so it was a little different, but the language sounded very similar to, I thought, to, like, or the style of we can't say good or bad to you because it's from God. So that's why, I don't know, to me, like, maybe also I think it was based on Rashi, that it sounded more like a, almost negative from them, like we can't do anything to stop it because we just know that it's out of our control.
Right. So it could be that there's a little bit of a bitter tone to it, and you're definitely right. Chazal definitely, you know, see that as the, you know, but the way it's interesting. He presented it in such a way that got them to sort of understand that it has to be this way, right? And he did it without being too forceful. He changed his language. Even though it was forceful, and they got it, they got the message, they understood that there really wasn't a choice here, that Hashem has arranged it. But again, on the surface, he by changing his language, he made it a little more inviting for them, and at the same time was still able to kind of issue the guarantee of that hatzlacha. And I think that's the point Lubavitch Rebbe is emphasizing here. Again, the combination of recognizing, you could say it more simply, it's a hishtadlus and, you know, bitachon kind of art. But I think it's also a art in how you say things. And that's what I heard in this piece. And now let's finish it up and we'll see how the Lubavitch Rebbe wraps up the piece. Hatzlacha mashma'usa matana milamala. We turn to the last page. Hatzlacha, again, the implication of hatzlacha is what? Is something that transcends. And again, it's especially true in Shidduchim, as many tzaddikim point out. Shidduchim is something where Hashem is the one who's really calling the shots. Where there's be'emes, yishlach malacho lefanecha, where the malach Hashem is, again, forcing things to happen. And it's happening in a way that's al-tivi, that transcends the natural order of things. Aval eich zoichem lezeh. But how do we live with that reality? How do we become, he says, eich niyim matzlichanim, how do we become, you know, matzliachniks, how do we become successful people? How do we develop such an opportunity for ourselves that a malach will go before us? It says the Lubavitch Rebbe, Kadeshi Atzliach, Liyesh Lios Kamo Eliezer. We need to be like Eliezer in what sense? Yafasi Chasan Shel Avde Avos. Look at the sensitivity of Eliezer and look at how he made himself an Eved. And now the Lubavitch Rebbe, we're going to pivot to one final point, which is a little bit different than what we've been, at least what I've been trying to express. Again, I hope I'm not perverting the peace and driving us down the wrong lane. But I think this is the point. Here's his final point. Reishis Kol. You want to be successful? You want to have the Malach go before you? Again, beyond what we were emphasizing about the importance of shifting the conversation to making it more inviting. Yesh liyos avdei avos. Yafasi chasa. And you know why Eliezer was able to speak so well? How did he do it? How did he know how to walk that fine line to set up the conversation for Lavan and Bisuel? So on the one hand, to guarantee the success, and the other hand, to change Avram's words ever so slightly to make it a little less intimidating to them. The answer is because he was an Eved of the Avos. Eliezer was able to do so by what? By just being a conduit to channel Avraham, to channel Hashem. Yafasichasin, Reishis Kol Yeshlios Avdei Avos. If you want to be successful in life, you want Hashem to go before you, to lead the way, you have to make yourself what? Like it says about the Avos, they were what? They were a Merkava L'Shechina. Make yourself into a vehicle for Hashem. Let Hashem, you know, just be the wagon and let Hashem grab the steering wheel, so to speak. You just be the chariot. Yesh lios avdei avos. Ala adam l'teit atzmo es ha'kara v'tchusha shu avdei avos. Hu bata l'avos ha'kadoshim. Be mevatel yourself to something bigger than yourself. Lebore olam, leruchnias, letzadik ador. Make yourself an eved. Isn't it unbelievable that Eliezer is not called Eliezer once in the parsha? He's never called Eliezer. He's always either called eved or he's called ish. He was mevatel himself completely to Avram Avinu. Kol od ata metzios mishal atzmacha. As long as you think you need to help Hashem and you're a partner with Hashem, right? And even though, yes, on a certain level, we do believe that. But until a person is able to get out of his own way, azai ad kama shamatzia shachatia gadola, the more space you take up, yadayin lo yechola, lachil koach elyon altivi, then you're not able to transcend your own physicality, your own natural abilities. Imkola gadla shacha ata mugbo. As big as you are, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, you're still what? You're still limited. You still have boundaries and borders of your own existence. But if you let that godly power into your life, ha'atzlacha, then it's built in mugbal. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, more than anyone, was a perfect example of this. He made himself a kli to be a conduit of godliness in the world, and he accomplished things in a lifetime that it just doesn't add up. I told you, this piece is from the 25th volume of Likutei Sichos. You know how many pages and pages and pages of Torah we have in the Lubavitcher Rebbe? And how many hours and hours and hours he spent providing for people. It doesn't add up. He lived a long life, but it doesn't add up. But he transcended his own physicality and he was guaranteed to be successful because what? Because he allowed himself to be a kli for Hashem. Kedei la'atzliach, kedei l'kabo matnas shemayim, ba'orach altivi, in order to receive this heavenly gift of being superhuman, osur l'metzios shalcha lisbata, you can't allow your own self to be too pronounced. Lit balet. You can't stick out. That serves as a blockage to this gift. You need to be avde avos. You need to be like the avos who are mevatel themselves. Binoisav lakach srichel yos etzlecha sichosan shal avde avos. You also need to what? You need to learn how to talk like the avde avos, like Eliezer. It needs to be a sicha b'muvan shal tfila. To be able to daven the way that Eliezer davened. Kedivrei HaGemara on the pasuk v'yetzei yitzach lasuach basadeh, ein sicha ela tefila, to be conversant with Hashem the way that what that we learned in Rabbi Nachman last week, right? To be able to be mitboded, to talk to Hashem in your own language, whatever language you're most comfortable in, right? To let your tefilos be natural before Hashem. Kasher tia avde avos, and when you have sichos and shal avde avos, when you daven like Eliezer, and when you're mevatel yourself like Eliezer. And again, and you learn how to fine-tune your speech based on who you're talking to, like Eliezer. Yesh biyadcha es ha-matkon la-tzlacha. Then you have the matkon, you have the recipe for success. O'oz tizke li-yishlach malacho lefanecha. Then you'll have both the true combination of what? A malach that paves the way, and a guarantee of atzlacha b'chol ma'asei yadecha, and all that you do. Okay, so Chavah, there's a lot to learn from Eliezer Eved Avram. There's a lot to learn from the way that he walked a very fine line between you know, being a true Talmud of Avraham Avinu and being able to enter into really a home of Rasha'im and to extract that beautiful gem, that Rivka, from that place to create the first shidduch, and all with great precision, both in his behavior and in his language. And I think there's a lot to learn from the delicate and sensitive way Eliezer lived his life. All right, that's today's Torah. A lot to think about. Try it next time you have a conversation with someone. Ask yourself: am I speaking in a way that's appropriate for the person I'm speaking to? Or am I speaking only in a way that, you know, in a language that's comfortable for me, but may not be comfortable for the other person? A lot to think about there.